right. As you look at this photograph, the thing I think there's a little lesson there, and it's just because you're on the right track doesn't mean you're going to be okay. You have to keep moving. You have to keep moving. And one of my opinions is that I think we've gotten caught in a little bit of a trap. That as I hear our conversation when we're together, too often we're looking back. We just kind of keep looking back, and we need to be looking forward. We can't change the past. We can learn from it. But when you're looking back and trying to walk, you're probably going to fall down. Or if you look back, you're going to stop. We need to be looking forward to the path that Jesus has laid out for us and looking to him as an example. And we're even going to look at some of Paul's writings and see what he says, what he did, and we'll imitate him as he has imitated Christ. First passage I want to look at is in Philippians, chapter 3. This is in the New American Standard, and if you read along with me. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And just a few verses earlier, Paul has said, where he compares the things in life that he has gained and how he was raised as the ideal Jew, and how much he had in life, what all he had accomplished. But there in verse 8 it says, more than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. That's the setting for, and then he talks about that upward call and that ultimate reward of resurrection in Christ. Here Paul says, he still has to work at it. He hasn't achieved it yet. And if he hasn't, neither have we, we have and we haven't. We've been guaranteed, as long as we continue to have faith in Christ, that he has a home for us in heaven, and that he gives us continual forgiveness of sins, that he's given his Spirit to guide us in this life and as his seal that we're one of his children. However, that's not so we can, sit on our hands, sit still, be frozen because we're looking back all the time. And Paul tells us, he says, that he forgets what's in the past. He forgets what's laying behind. So that he can reach forward. In the NIV, it uses the word straining forward. This is not a casual action that he's describing. He strains forward to what lies ahead. It's not passive. It's active. And he presses or pushes, not aimlessly. He has a clear goal toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That because of what Christ has done for us, we, as his disciples, have a mission. And we push, pull, press toward that goal and on that mission and on that path, knowing that God can do more than we can even imagine. as we think about, you know, being on the right track and that train's behind us. God says that we'll fly like eagles. We'll fly like eagles. Satan still has power, but we'll fly like eagles. And if we trust in him and have a commitment to him, that he is going to do more than we can even imagine. So we should dream big. Dream big. Another passage I'd like to look at is 1 Corinthians chapter 9. There in verses 25 through 26. You read it on the screen or turn there. Here, Paul is describing how, you know, taking some things that we know about, running races, boxing. And he says, everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They prepare. They don't get distracted. And they do this in order to receive a wreath, the blue ribbon, the trophy, an imperishable wreath, but we, an imperishable. The trophy or crown that we're going to receive doesn't go away. It lasts forever, and it's guaranteed by God himself. That's the motivation. Barry in class talked about, why do we obey? We obey because we have faith and trust in God, that he'll keep his promises. That faith is built because we've seen the promises that we can read in scriptures, the promises that he made that have already been fulfilled. And we see in our everyday life where he answers prayer just as he said he would, that we can see examples in our lives. Yes, we can read about it in the truths of God's word in the Bible, but also we can, if we open our eyes and our ears, we see it today in ourselves and in the people that we know and love in the church. Paul says, therefore I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. There's a purpose. He has a plan. He has an objective. He has a clear target. If you run the race, you stay on the track. You know, you go forward. You don't stop or turn around and look where you've been. Forward. The end of the race. You run hard. You train. And in boxing, you know, you've got a place on your opponent that you want your glove to land. You don't want to just have a lot of spinning around in the air there. You know, he's going to hit you. And for me, you know, I'm not a runner. I'm not a boxer. But I think about, you know, in shooting. You know, I coach kids in how to hit the target. So you just don't shoot in the air haphazardly. You don't close your eyes and pull the trigger. You look at the target. You always focus on the target. And we need to focus on the mission of the church that Jesus said in his last days, go and make disciples. Are there other things that we should be about and are good? Yes. It's important that we live a good life that has a good example in front of our fellow Christians, in front of people that are not yet Christians. Because if we don't, it can undermine our mission. People need to see that your life reflects what you say. Perfectly, only Jesus. But quick to repent? Yes. And get back on the track. You know, keep running. Keep looking ahead. Jesus has already been where we're going. We can have, he's been tempted in every way that we have, yet didn't sin. He came out of the grave and is resurrected and is sits at the right hand of God. And one day we too will come out of the grave, that our, the part of us that is in God's image, that's an eternal soul, it will go home to be with him forever. They, you know, I'm old enough, I have a lot of aches and pains, and it's obvious to me this body was not made to last forever. But we've all got something within us that is eternal. And that target that we're aimed on, that goal that we're after, the one that we're following, and how we live our lives, who we have faith in, is going to determine where that soul spends eternity. With God, in a place of beauty and peace and joy forever, or in a place of where God is not. There is no light. There is no love. Of eternal punishment. There's not an in-between safe ground. And, you know, it's, lots of people want to talk about heaven. Not so much about hell. Jesus talked more about hell than heaven. They're both real. They are both real. And one day, we're going to end up in one or the other. I'm confident that if we have faith in God and are obedient and keep the focus of our life on Jesus, that we will be in eternity with him. You know, it's, I can't find the right words to really show that contrast, how much difference it is. You know, in Revelations, it's, you know, pearly gates, streets of gold. Whether those are literal or not, I'm thinking it's going to be better than that. We just, the writer used something that we could know about and imagine and see. I think it's going to even be better. But it's important to keep striving. Barry in his class talked about perseverance. You know, stick to it. Be consistent. Don't give up. There's a lot in this life pulling us back. That train is behind us. It's still coming. You gotta keep looking forward. You got to keep moving forward. You got to push on towards that goal. Have a, each day, have a renewed commitment. Have some, re-energize yourself with some time with God in prayer and reading his word. This is a year we've talked about strengthening our discipleship. I don't think you can do that without feeding on the Word of God. You can't grow if you're starving yourself. And that is the right first step. And he wants to hear from us. He wants a people that love him. And you talk to the people you love. There's not anything that you're thinking that God doesn't want to hear. He's your father. He's your father. And he cares. And he knows. And he will provide strength to help you through any trial in this life, any trial. And he'll give you the strength to carry out his will. You know, if there's something you think you want to do for God but don't think you can do it, he'll give you the strength to do it. He'll, if you ask, if you pray about it and ask, he'll give you someone else to come alongside to do it with you. And there's great strength in numbers and in companionship and in mutual encouragement and accountability. We talked about, or Barry did in class, about the value of having somebody else to help you with a goal you have, to help you grow. In prayer, having a prayer partner, having someone else to read through the scriptures together with, that you both agree to a plan and you're both commit to it, and then you talk about it each, however often it works for you. If it's once a week, you get together, in person or on the phone, talk about what you read. If you didn't. You commit to doing better, the next week. It's because we fail one time is not a reason to give up. You just keep on, keep on, keeping on. Press, push, pull, forward, forward, not backward, not backward. The last scripture I want to look at is in Hebrews. It's a familiar passage, chapter 12. It comes right after that hall of fame of faith in chapter 11, where the writer talks about, by faith Abraham, by faith Moses, by faith, by faith. We have witnesses of people we have known that have gone on, that we can look at their lives and see the things that they did by faith. And now they're in heaven. They're no longer here with us. But if they could talk to us from what they see, they'd say, keep on, press on, push forward. It's worth it. It's worth it. Don't give up. It's worth it. So we have witnesses that we read about in the scriptures, and we also have a cloud of witnesses that we've known here that have done small and great things for God. And because they were willing to try, they were willing to try, step out in faith, and have confidence that God will bless it, and that his will be done. And his will is for everyone to be saved. Reading in Hebrews 12, verses 1. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, open our eyes to see how many people are working in alignment with God's will. It's not just those of us in this building. There are millions of people in this world that have committed to live their life for Christ, and collectively, we're all trying to align ourselves with his mission. And It's clear. That's why we're here. That's why we're here. In the short amount of time that we're here to carry out God's mission. And as the writer says, in order to do that, you take off the, you know, you take off the weights. Back to that example of a runner, you know, when he's practicing for the race, he has weights on his legs, maybe weights on his arms to build up his strength. So when it's time to run the race, he's stronger, faster. But if we don't ever get in the race, we're still letting all those weights pull us back. And everybody has some. Everybody has something that can pull us back, can cause us to stop instead of pressing forward, can be a big distraction, sucks up our time, gives us, you know, that we're worried all the time, so worried that we're frozen, that we can't function in God's kingdom. Just let it go. Take it off. Whether you want to imagine it as a monkey on your back or weights dragging you down, a ball and chain on your leg. Everybody has to look at themselves and see what that is that's holding you back, that's slowing you down, and ask God to take it away. Have a plan. Have a conscious plan. Have consistency in working to make that something that doesn't keep holding you back. And again, the writer says, once you've got those weights off, run with endurance. This life, it's, you know, it's more like a marathon than a sprint. We don't want to start and then stop. Keep going. Persevere. Endure. Don't lose sight of the end goal. Don't lose sight of the target. And this writer tells us who that is. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. He's that perfect example that we're trying to duplicate. He's the solution for our sins. He was God himself, loved us so much that he left the beauty and perfection of heaven to come down to this earth among men that despised him, rejected him, made fun of him, spit on him, beat him, hung him on a cross. Because he loved us so much and wanted to do what we couldn't do for ourselves. Give us a sacrifice that gives us forgiveness of sins so that when we're clothed in Christ and have been washed clean by the blood of Christ, God sees us sin free. Because we're clothed with Christ. And Jesus endured all that because he loved us and because he was committed to doing the will of the Father. And that needs to be our commitment too, that we're committed to doing the will of our Father. We need to claim Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Lots of people want him to be their Savior. They like the idea of, I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. Lord, too. Alan just had a sermon the other week about, you know, that we're a slave to him. We wear his name. He's the master, we're the slave. His will, not mine. So, follow Christ. Fix our eyes on Jesus. We sing a song like that. You know, in a few moments, Stephen's going to lead us in a song. But before that, I want to give you one other thing as we think about, you know, running this race, you know, what can we do? This is an ideal week to talk to people about Jesus. Sometime this week, many, if not all of us, will hear a conversation where people are complaining about what they see on the news. The crowds that, have rallied for Black Lives Matter or Make America Great Again. Doesn't matter which one of those. There are people that have been able to stir those crowds up and possibly get them to go and do things that they ordinarily wouldn't have done. It is an easy transition to, you know, that's really nothing new. When Jesus came into Jerusalem, the last week of his life, the crowds treated him like a king. They laid down palm leaves so that the king's foot wouldn't actually even have to touch the ground. They were cheering him. Thousands of people. Hosanna. And he was coming in as a triumphant king. A few days later, many of those same people, those same thousands, were screaming, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. Same people. So, it's not a surprise that people can be stirred up and do things that they wouldn't have done by words. What's happened today has happened before. And that story is something that we can all tell. And that those people then, you know, they followed through. The leaders were on their side. And Jesus was crucified. Yet, he conquered over all. He even proved that he had the power over death. And so then, early on Sunday morning, which many of us, you know, the people you're talking to will think of Easter. You know, you won't be telling them about something they don't know anything about. You'll be able to take what they see on television, how you relate it to what happened long ago, and again, tell them about something that they know, that on Easter, that Jesus proved he had the power over death. Jesus proved he was God. And those same people, when they realized what they'd done, they cried out, men and brethren, what should we do? What should we do? What can we do? Peter told them, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's what he told them. That's what he tells us today, too. If there's anyone here that heeds that call, or if there's anyone here for any reason would like the prayers of the church, if you're not confident that those promises that Jesus has given us apply to you, come forward and we'll talk about it.